Father, thank you for your word right now. We thank you. We praise you for what you've done, the presence of God, your presence, Lord, that we have sensed in our hearts today, the way that our hearts have been lifted. Truly, there has been a lifting up. And we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you've lifted all of us today, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for it, and we thank you, Lord, for your truth. Lord, I pray that you would give me utterance today to say what you would have me to say. And I pray that you give every one of us here and everyone that would be listening at some later point ears to hear what you're saying. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go again to the book of Romans. And we are talking about righteousness again today. I think perhaps the most important subject in the Bible. Hallelujah. So, well, Pastor, wouldn't that be salvation? Well, you can't have salvation without righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the," what? "The gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Praise God. So righteousness is what? Yeah, it's a gift. It's a gift. Can you earn a gift? No. Again, Paul talks about this earlier in the book of Romans. He said, for someone who works, he said, the reward, the benefit, whatever it's come to, is not considered a gift, but it's their wages. Amen. You know, if you were, I mentioned this last week, the company you work for, if you get called into the office and the boss says, "Hey, I just want to do something really special for you. I want to give you a special gift." And you're thinking, "Oh, wonderful, a bonus. Oh, wonderful, a raise. Oh, wonderful, maybe a paid vacation somewhere. Oh, what's he going to give me? Maybe a new car, you know." And I said, like a game show host, didn't I? "A new car." Okay. All right. Okay. Tell them what they've won, Jay. All right. "A new car." All right. What were we talking about? So you're going to their boss's office, and you're thinking, he says he wants to give you a gift, and he hands you your paycheck. No extra money in there. You say, "Wait a minute. You said this was a gift." "Well, here it is." And you say, "That's not a gift. I earned that. I worked 80 hours the last 2 weeks. I earned this." Right? See the difference between a gift and what you earn? A lot of people try to earn righteousness, but righteousness is a gift. It's a gift. Amen? All right. So it's a gift, not anything we can earn. It's freely given to us when we believe on the Lord Jesus. And so we're talking about, again, as I think maybe the most important subject in the Bible, the subject of righteousness. And in the book of Romans, we find the word righteousness is mentioned 36 times, just in that one book of Romans, 36 times. Somebody said if God repeats something, says something twice, repeats it more than once, then it's important. 36 times. In addition to that, the word righteous in the book of Romans is used 8 times. The word justified, which will give the definition of that, it's connected with righteousness very closely. It's used 10 times. The word justify, 1 time. And the word just, in the context of righteousness, it didn't mean that there were just 3 people, that came to Jesus. It means we've been, the just shall live by faith. In that context, 2 more times. So all of these times the word righteousness and words connected with it are used here in the book of Romans. So we're going to define these words. I did this last week, but I want to do this one more time just in review. What does righteousness mean? In fact, I was having lunch with a pastor on Monday, and told him I was teaching. He asked me what I was preaching on, and I said, "Well, I'm in a series on righteousness." And he says, "Well, wait a minute, let me stop you right there." He said, "How do you define righteousness?" And so I gave him this definition. He said, "Yeah, that's right." He said, "A lot of people think righteousness is works." And so he was on board with me. He understood the biblical definition here. Righteousness means right standing with God. It means a state of being right in God's presence, in God's sight, or upright in God's presence. It means the ability to stand before God without a sense of inferiority or sin or guilt. It means that we're able to stand before God as though we had never sinned. The ability to stand before God as though we had never sinned. And righteous then, that's righteousness. That's the definition of righteousness. Right standing with God, being able to stand in the presence of God without a sense of sin or guilt or inferiority as though we had never sinned. Righteousness means the state of being, or righteous, excuse me. Righteous means the state of being right with God. So if someone says, I am righteous, that means that they are in that state or condition of being right with God. Amen? And then there's the word justified. Justified means declared righteous by God. We are declared righteous by God. Amen. God looks at us and He says, I have made a determination, I have made a judgment, and I am declaring you righteous. Amen. The Bible says Jesus was delivered, in Romans 4:25, Jesus was delivered up to death because of our sins, and He was raised for our, or because of our justification. In other words, Jesus wasn't raised from the dead until God could legally look at you and me and say, you're righteous. Because when Jesus died and shed His blood, He was paying the price to make us righteous. Amen. So God could give that to it. Now, when someone gives you a gift, it doesn't mean it's totally free. It's free to you, but they paid for it. Right? Someone paid for that free gift that you got. And someone paid for this free gift of righteousness that we received, and that was Jesus. Amen. And He was delivered to death because of our sins, but He was raised when we were declared righteous. Amen. Praise God. All right. So then the word just is a, that means a person who's been declared righteous by God. The just shall live by faith. All right? Praise God. And so when we receive this gift of righteousness, as we put the verse back up there, Kim, if you would. When we receive this gift of righteousness, which means right standing with God, when we're made right in God's sight, then the Bible says we can, that it's going to do something for us. It says that, when we receive this gift of righteousness and when we understand it and when we walk in the consciousness of it, then we can reign in life. We can reign in life. The Amplified Bible says we can reign as kings in life. We can reign as kings in life. Now, as you know, the monarch, Queen Elizabeth, just passed away a couple of weeks ago. And from what I understand, she was a dedicated Christian. You know, you may have, I'm sure there's all kinds of things that you could read that would call things, well, she wasn't perfect, well, she did this wrong. Well, I'm sure she, but she made a commitment when she became queen. She said, by God's grace and by God's help, I dedicate myself to serve the people. And she really did that. And she was the longest reigning monarch. She served 70 years. She became queen at age 26 when her father died. And she reigned for 70 years. And she honored God with her life, really. But think about Queen Elizabeth in the context of reigning in life, reigning as a king in life. Did Queen Elizabeth lack anything? She didn't lack anything, did she? Nope. Did her words carry authority? Was every resource that she might need available to her? It absolutely was. So if we'll understand that we're righteous, then we can reign as kings in life. Our words will carry authority. We will not lack for any resource or any good thing. Amen? And when we understand that we're righteous, we can begin to exercise the authority that's ours in Christ. The Bible says where the word of a king is, there's power. Amen. And when we see, you can't really exercise your authority in Christ without knowing, without the revelation of righteousness. That's why righteousness is so key to all of this, because we may tell people, hey, you know, you've got authority over the devil, and a person may try to use that. You may try to use that. But if you're not sure that you're righteous, then you're not going to have confidence exercising that authority. Amen? All right, and so righteousness, knowing that you're righteous and being conscious of it, is so key. So let's go back now. We start in verse 17 of chapter 5. Let's go back to verse 1, and because that's kind of where we left off. We left off at the end of chapter 4 last week, and I didn't plan this when I started on this subject, but it just seemed good just to go through the book of Romans. It's such an important book, and there's such important revelation in the book. The book of Romans may be the most important letter that Paul wrote, and we know that Paul didn't just write it. We know it was divinely inspired. Yes. Amen. The Holy Spirit is saying these things. Amen. So Romans 5 and verse 1, he says, therefore, having been what? Justified. What does justified mean? Declared righteous by God. So we can read it that way. Therefore, having been declared righteous by God, how? By faith. Amen. He declares us righteous, and by faith we agree with him and we say, okay, Lord, I don't feel like it, I don't look like it, and I've not even been acting like it. But if you've declared me righteous, then I believe that I'm righteous. Therefore, having been justified, declared righteous by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not God's enemies anymore. We've got peace with him. The New Living Translation says, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight. That's what justified means. That's another good definition. Made right in whose sight? In God's sight. Well, my brother-in-law doesn't think I'm righteous. Well, your brother-in-law is not the final authority. Amen. And I pray you have a good relationship with your brother-in-law. But it's what God says about you. It's in God's sight. That's what matters. Amen. We've been made right in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. So righteousness brings peace with God. Now, again, Paul writes back in Romans 3, he says this righteousness, in Romans 3:21, he says the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, it's revealed in the Gospels, but he said it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, it's there in the Old Testament all along. Righteousness by faith. Not righteousness not by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. It was revealed in the Old Testament. It's what God was up to all along. It's what God was leading us to. It's what God was trying to get us to all along. Amen? And so let's go back to one of the prophets and see what Isaiah said about righteousness. In Isaiah 32 and 17, he says, the work of righteousness will be what? Peace. The work, in other words, righteousness will result in peace. What righteousness works in us is peace. And that's exactly what Paul said in Romans 5 there. Having been justified by faith, we having been declared righteous by faith, we have peace. Peace with God. Amen. Hallelujah. And he says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. A lot of translations there for that word assurance, they say confidence. So again, righteousness brings confidence. Confidence in using our authority. Confidence that God is going to keep his word. See, so righteousness is so key to our faith working, to us exercising our authority, because righteousness brings confidence. When you understand that you're righteous, when you become conscious that you're righteous, then it will give you a confidence in God, a confidence in what he's done. Amen. Not a cockiness, not an arrogance, but a confidence in God's faithfulness, a confidence in what Christ has done for you and in you and what he can do through you. Amen? Praise God. And he goes on to say, then the next verse, he says, my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation. What people? Those who are righteous. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Amen. God wants your home to be a peaceful habitation, a secure dwelling, and a quiet resting place. You said, Pastor, you don't know the neighborhood I live in. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Amen. Because God says His people, the righteous ones, can have a peaceful habitation, a secure dwelling, and a quiet resting place. In fact, He says in verse 19, He said, doesn't matter what's going on around you. He said, though hail come down on the forest and the city is brought low in humiliation, even though there may be everything breaking out around you, your home, your place, you can have a peaceful habitation, a quiet resting place, a secure dwelling. Amen. Why? Because of righteousness. Because you've been made righteous. Righteousness brings peace. Amen. Romans 5, verse 6, when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the really, really, really good people. For the ungodly. Hallelujah. We qualify. We qualify. Amen. Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. But yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more than having now been
justified.
What is justified? Declared righteous by God. Made right in God's sight. Much more than having now been justified, how?
By His blood.
Amen. See, if you deny that you are righteous, then you're denying the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. To say, oh no, I'm not righteous, is to deny. If you've repented and if you've asked the Lord to forgive you and the blood to cleanse you, then for you to walk around and say, yeah, but I'm not really righteous, then you're denying the power of the blood. Amen. Justified by much more, he says, much more. Having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Amen. And the blood, because we're justified that by the blood, as a result of that, we're saved from wrath. That's why being righteous is so important, because righteousness and understanding it, being conscious of it and standing in it, saves you from wrath.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there is a wrath of God. We understand that. We read the book of Revelation, and we understand that during the tribulation period, that God will, you know, He finally says, okay, enough is enough, and He has to bring judgment on wickedness. And thank God He does. If He didn't, would you want the evil and wickedness to continue and the perversion and the corruption to continue?
No.
We want judgment is a good thing. Amen. And so the wrath of God will be poured out during the tribulation period. Thank God we're saved from that wrath. Amen. We're counted no longer as God's enemies, but we're counted as His children through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're made righteous. And God, and if you remember the question that Abraham asked God in his great intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Far be it from you to do such a thing, that the righteous should be as the wicked. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Well, He'll do right.
Yeah.
Amen. He will not destroy the righteous with the wicked.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So it's important to know that you're righteous and stand in that. Amen.
Amen.
But there's another wrath that we are saved from as well. In Revelation 12:12, we find out what that wrath is. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you having what?
Great wrath.
Because he knows that he has a short time. How many of you believe the devil knows that he has a short time? Anytime he starts trying to bother you or trouble you, then just say, Mr. Devil, I've got a message for you. Tick, tock. Tick, tock. I hear the clock ticking, Mr. Devil. Your time is running out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He knows he's got a short time, and the Bible says because of that, he's come down to the earth with great wrath. Well, he steals, kills, and destroys. He's trying to rip up and tear up as much of God's creation as he can before he gets banished, all right? And so there's a wrath of the devil. We're saved from wrath because of the blood of Jesus has made us righteous. We're delivered from the wrath of God, but we're also delivered from this wrath.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. This wrath of the devil, we can be saved from as we stand in our righteousness in Christ. Amen. And how are we saved from wrath? We're justified how? By his blood, right? Isn't that what it said in Romans 5? We've been justified by his blood and we're saved from wrath. Verse Revelation 12, 11 says the same thing. And they overcame him how? Him who? Him is the devil who's come down with great wrath. They overcame him. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Our testimony to what the blood has accomplished. In other words, we open our mouth and we say, the blood of Jesus Christ has justified me. I am justified. I'm made right with God by the blood of Jesus. That's our testimony. He's talking about it in a legal sense here. Amen. And because of that, I'm righteous. And because of that, I'm delivered from wrath. Take your hands off them. No, you don't. I'm divinely protected. Hail may come down on the forest, the city may be brought low, but I'm living in a peaceful habitation, in a secure dwelling. My home is a quiet resting place. Amen. Praise God. All right, let's go back to Romans 5 and verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So he's talking about at the beginning. And notice, ladies, you're off the hook. Look at this. He says, just as through one, he didn't say through one woman. And all the ladies said, amen, hallelujah, we're off the hook. All right. Well, we always talk about blaming Eve, but Adam and Eve were together, we know. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. He's talking about what happened at the beginning, that through Adam and Eve, sin came into the world, and as a result of that, death came, right? Wages of sin is death. Sin produces death. Sin came into the world, and therefore death entered through sin, and then death spread to all people because all people sinned, all right? And he says, until the law, sin was in the world. See, the law didn't come along, Ten Commandments, the law didn't come along until many generations later. But how do we know? And so there was no law to break. There was no, you shall not murder. There was no written law. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. No, there was no written law to break. And yet, people were dying and Paul is saying, because people were dying, we know that there was sin going on because sin is what produces death, right? And we know that's true. We know that people were sinning and dying even before they had the law, okay? Nevertheless, he says, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come, all right? And so, again, even though there was no law to break, even though there was no Ten Commandments, people were still sinning and people were still dying. All right? We're going to go, Kim, I'm going to skip the Hebrews passage just for sake of time. We're just going to keep reading here. In verse 15 of Romans 5, he says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense, that's Adam's sin in the garden, by the one man's offense, many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Amen. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. And now we get verse 17, but with a little bit more perspective. For if by the one man's offense, Adam's sin in the garden, death reigned through the one, through Adam, much more. See, what God did in Christ is greater than what the devil did in Adam. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that good news? Much more. Those who receive, if we could have just stayed in the garden. Well, what God did in Jesus is greater than what the devil did in Adam. Amen. He's not just restoring us to the garden, it's greater. Much more. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And verse 19, and JJ, come on back up if you would. Verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so here's the message of righteousness right here. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. I'm righteous because of Jesus' obedience. Hallelujah. I'm right with God. You say, well, I'm trying to be righteous, but I keep failing. I'm trying to be righteous, Pastor, but I can't seem to do it. It's not based on your obedience. It was based on Jesus' obedience. You're righteous because, did Jesus fail? No, he succeeded. He said on the cross, it's finished. He didn't say, I tried. Amen. Amen. I gave it the old college try. No, he said, it's finished. And he may as well have been saying, devil, you're finished. Amen. Hallelujah. Because of his obedience, many are made righteous. All who will believe, all who will call on Him are made righteous. Now, in case anybody's drawing the wrong conclusion here, Paul is making the strong argument in Romans 3 and Romans 4 and Romans 5 that righteousness is a gift and it cannot be earned. We cannot be righteous before God by keeping the law, but only by faith in what Jesus has done. He said, Jew and Gentile, we're both made righteous the same way, by faith. Amen? All right. The law wasn't given to lead you to righteousness and make you righteous by following it. No, it was to expose the fact that you need a Savior. It was to expose the fact that you're not righteous without Christ. But righteousness is a free gift. Amen? That He gives to us. All right? And so, he's thinking, as he moves into chapter 6, okay, I got to make sure that people aren't getting the wrong idea here. So he's covering the other side, and so he starts out chapter 6 this way. What shall we say then? What shall we say to this message of righteousness? I'm not right by what I can do or by my work, so I guess it doesn't matter what I do. I guess it doesn't matter if I try to keep the Ten Commandments, if I try to live godly. Doesn't matter. I'm righteous by faith, so it doesn't matter what I do. Is he saying that? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the answer? Certainly not, he says. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So he said, let's just keep reading here. Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. So he begins to transition between, and it's important for us to understand, our legal standing of righteousness and how we live it out practically in our lives. We have to integrate both, and we have to understand both. We have to understand our legal standing of righteousness, and then we need to take that understanding and then begin to live it out in our practical life, in our daily life. And he goes on in verse 11, of Romans 6, and he says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. We're not just dead to sin, we're alive to God. sinner, people that are not saved, they're alive to sin and dead to God. Glory to God. When we come to Jesus, we ought to consider, reckon ourselves dead to sin, unresponsive. You know, a dead man can't sin. Right? A dead man's not tempted to lie, cheat, steal, you know, commit adultery. A dead man can't do that. Amen. We should consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. Alive to the purposes of God. Alive to the presence of God. Alive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members, that's your body, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So we've been made righteous, and now we present our members, our body, as instruments of righteousness. My tongue should be an instrument of righteousness, not an instrument of gossip and deceit. Amen. And slander. Amen. And cursing and bitterness. Amen. We present our members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under law, but under grace. Amen. We're, again, by that gift of righteousness, we can do what? We can reign in life. This is what reigning in life. Reigning in life doesn't mean that you order everybody around. Because your fellow believer, they're king too. This, you know, when the kings and queens and the royalty get together, do they order each other around? No. They don't order each other around. That's not for that purpose. Amen. No. Reigning as a king in life means that we can say, nobody, you're not going to our body. You're not going to sin. I'm presenting you to God. That's your spirit taking ascendancy. That's your spirit. Amen. That's been born again, you're saying, no, our spirit's going to rule. Body, you're not going to rule. Amen. All right. Praise God. And so since we've been given the gift of righteousness, now we can live righteously. He says in verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? But under grace? Certainly not. Since I'm not under the law, since I'm righteous, not by keeping the law, but because of faith in Jesus, because of what He's done and my faith in that, since I'm now under grace, can I go ahead and sin? Paul said, certainly not. Certainly not. Why? What's the problem with that? Verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave who you obey? Well, you know, you have the choice. If you want to sin, you can, but you've become a slave of sin if you go back under that. If you're that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death. Now again, he says, remember the principle here, sin produces death. So if you go back under and start living in sin, thinking, oh, well, I'm righteous, doesn't matter what I do. If you start going back and living under sin, it's going to produce death in your life. It's going to produce death. All right? He says, so sin which produces death. All right? I got to remember where I'm at here. 16, okay. Or of obedience leading to righteousness. Amen. So I can choose obedience. I can choose to follow the prompting of the Spirit of God in me and obey God. And that leads to righteousness, not in the sense of that's not going to make me righteous. That's not going to cause God to declare me righteous. He's already done that. But it's going to enable me to live out this righteousness now. Romans 8, and this will be our last scripture here. Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, Paul has wrote about that. It's been operating. We know it was operating because people died. We know they died because the reason they died is because they sinned. So we know sin had to be going on because people were dying. But there's a new law in effect. Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, look at this. For what the law could not do. What could the law not do? Make me righteous. The law couldn't make me righteous. What the law could not do. Why couldn't it do that? It was weak through the flesh. The law required people to follow it and obey it, and our flesh was weak and we failed. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did. What the law couldn't do, God did. How? By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, God's declared us righteous because of what Jesus did. And because He declared us righteous, then we become fit vessels for Him to send His Holy Spirit to live in. And because the Holy Spirit lives in us now, then we have the capacity, if we'll follow His prompting, to fulfill and live out the righteous requirement of the law. See, in the Old Testament, they were getting the cart before the horse. They were saying, okay, we gotta keep the law to be righteous. And God says, no, let's put the horse before the cart. Let's put my righteousness that I'm accomplishing for you through my Son, through His redemption, and let's hook up the cart of your life to that righteousness, and then let's live righteously. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll close with this. Royal Unprejudiced 2. And my favorite, if you're using it in the terms of you have favorites. Hallelujah. And I do believe that I'm the very best pastor for this congregation. Amen. For the people who look to me as their shepherd. Amen. All right. But I had a favorite too. My favorite Bible teacher after I got filled with the Holy Spirit was Dr. Frederick K.C. Price. Anybody remember Dr. Price? He's since gone on to... Mary, were you ever able to be in his church? I know you're right. You went to his church some out in Crenshaw? Oh my, wow. But Dr. Price, of course, Dr. Price was the protege of Dad Hagen. He was already in the ministry, but then when he started hanging around Dad Hagen, that revolutionized his ministry. But he was such a wonderful teacher, and that's why I learned so much from him. He could just explain the Word so clearly, so beautifully. But he gave, I'll never forget this illustration that he gave one time. I say I never forget it. The details may be a little bit different, but the essence of it has always stuck with me. He was teaching on this subject of righteousness, and he was teaching on the subject of, okay, we're righteous by faith, and what about our works, and what about, does it matter what we do? And he says, let me give you this illustration. He says, say there's this construction worker, and he's been working with the crew, and they've been, Mike Rowe has this dirty jobs. Okay, this guy's one of those dirty jobs. They are just filthy. Whatever project they're working on, they're working in the dirt and the dust and the mire and the mud, and they're filthy. They're just covered in maybe even oil and grease and all this stuff, just covered in it. And so there's a big project, so there's different shifts, and his shift gets off, and so he's got big plans. And so he's going out on the town. And so he goes home, he takes a shower, he gets cleaned up, he takes the brush and cleans the grime out from under his fingernails, and he gets all dressed up. He puts on clean, perfectly pressed and clean outfit and clothing. And he is clean, clean, clean. Like we are when we're made righteous. And as he's going out for his evening on the town, he happens to go by the construction site. And the next shift is on and they're working. And he looks back and he sees where he was just an hour ago. And he sees how filthy and dirty and covered with grime and dirt and mud and grease and oil that they are. And some of the workers recognize him. And they say, hey, Joe, We need some help down here. Come back down here and help us. And he looks at how clean he is and his nice clean clothing, and he said, no way. No way. No way I'm going back to that. No way I'm going back into that. I've been cleaned up. I've got plans. I'm going somewhere. Hallelujah. That's the way we ought to be with sin. After we've been made righteous and recognized and conscious that we're righteous in Christ, we may go back and we may see some of our old friends or our old life or our old habits and what we used to do. And they may be calling for, hey, come back. We'll have a good time. Come back. And we have to look and remember who we are and what we look like now. And we say, no way. No way. I done got cleaned up. I've got plans. I'm going somewhere. I'm not going back into that. Hallelujah. If you like that illustration, then give Dr. Price credit for that up in heaven. He's with the Lord now. Praise God. That's who we are. That's who we are. And that's how we walk in righteousness, conscious of the fact that we've been made right through the grace of God, through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we live that out. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. For your wonderful work of righteousness in us through Jesus. Thank you that we've been declared righteous. Thank you that we're made right in your sight. It doesn't matter how others may see us, but in your sight, we've been made right. And that's what counts. That's what's important. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit helping us to live and walk in this righteousness, that the righteous requirement of the law will be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Thank you that you've sent your Spirit in us to guide us, to prompt us, to empower us to live righteously, to walk righteously in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that the work of righteousness shall be peace. I thank you that we have peace with you. And I thank you that we have peace in our lives. Confidence, because we've been made righteous. And you'll never forsake the righteous. And you will protect the righteous. And you will deliver the righteous. And we've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the righteous seed begging bread. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that because of righteousness, we are divinely protected, divinely delivered, divinely provided for. We praise you for it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Now, before we go, again, I know, well, maybe I should give a call for here too. Let's stay in the attitude of prayer for just a moment. For those of you joining us, I notice our live stream is still going. So if you've joined us on YouTube, maybe you've found us maybe for the first time, and this is all new to you. Maybe you've never heard this. Maybe you've never heard about this gift of righteousness. Maybe you thought you could be good enough to get to heaven and earn your way there. And maybe you think, well, hey, I've been a pretty good person. But the Bible says our own righteousness apart from Christ is as filthy rags in God's sight. Because if you'll be honest with yourself, you know that you've sinned. You know that you have come short of the perfection of God's standard. And there's guilt and there's shame in your life about things that you have done. There's something in there that lets you know that you're not right with God. But you can be right with Him. That's the good news today. You can be right with God because of what Jesus has done in believing that. So I want to pray with you right now. By praying this prayer, believing it with your heart, Jesus will come into your life. And Jesus will be the Lord of your life. And God will look at you and declare you righteous. So pray this with me. Put your hand over your heart. Those of you in the auditorium here, pray it with me as well. Pray this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I recognize today that I need a Savior. I can't save myself. And Jesus is that Savior. He died in my place. He shed His blood. And He was raised from the dead so that I could be made righteous. I believe that. And I receive that now. Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin and I turn to You. Wash me. Make me clean. Give me Your righteousness. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen.